For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Nice.
That's my favorite.
That's my favorite.
Okay, now I've hit the record button. What is up, Raider Nation? Your buddy Murph back once again for what we trust and we know will be a fantastic episode of the Raiders Fan Radio Rundown. That's where me and my best friend over here, Swag Jeff, we run down the hottest news stories, but we had such big news, we couldn't do the show without Michelle.
Absolutely.
So Michelle's in the studio with us here in the fan cave as well to talk about this thing that happened yesterday. So without further ado, let's go ahead. Let's go ahead and kick off our talk about the Raiders. By the way, this is not live. This is pre-recorded. We've got an event that we're going to tonight, so unfortunately we can't do a live show during the draft. But consider this your pre-day two primer.
Absolutely, man. But go ahead and introduce me.
Hi, Jeff.
Hi.
Hey. Welcome, Swag Jeff.
Oh, my gosh.
Is it sad when the only person clapping is you for yourself?
Story of my life. Story of my life.
Self-high five.
You know, sometimes you got to give yourself some flowers.
If not you, then who?
Exactly. Yeah. I can't rely on anybody else. It's all, you know, but man, I'm excited to be here. You know, there's a lot of sad folks around, you know, Twitter can be a crazy place.
Yeah,
you know? And the shit has hit the fan, and you know who let it start. That was you. It was your candy ass.
What are you talking about?
You started all that. You were the king of the sad sacks on the Twitter.
No,
you led that. You kind of led the charge.
You led the charge.
Did I?
You did.
Well, you know, I thought we were out of the battle days, the days of battling, but
Raider Nation.
Just when I thought I was out. They pull me back in.
Yeah. Raider Nation lost their mind when they saw you lose your mind. They were like, oh shit, we might be in trouble. Murph's over there losing his mind.
Well, that's before we start talking about it too much.
Hey, please welcome in to the rundown for the first time. Michelle Sway.
Hey, Michelle. What a great rundown to hop in on. That's just a good one. Because, I went immediately. Actually, I didn't go immediately to Twitter because I had been on and off Twitter. Yeah. And they were getting the information before my TV was. And I was like, what the hell? So I already knew. And I was like, ooh, this is going to be good. And so I just waited. And it was. Well, good, bad. I guess it depends on who you ask.
It's absolutely. And F the Falcons. That's all I can say. All right. So let's go ahead. Let's just kick it off. Let's just start talking about it, I guess.
Rip the Band-Aid off, Murph.
Rip the Band-Aid off. So listen, I love Brock Bowers. So I want to start off by saying that. I want to preface my statements and my opinion on that by saying that he is an absolute beast. Robert Griffin III called him a weapon of mass reception. The guy has a nose for the end zone. He's a three-time All-American. He's probably the best tight end prospect ever. So I totally get it. I mean, I watch a lot of Georgia football here lately. You know, Valerie Sun Mason is a huge Georgia football fan. And so, you know, she's a big Georgia football fan because of it. And so we watch a lot of Georgia football. And the guy is undeniable. Like, he's an absolute monster. So it says any of my negativity or position towards it has nothing to do with the player. Like, I think he's awesome. And I can't wait to see how he's going to be utilized and the with the versatility that he has and his ability to play. Like, so it absolutely has nothing to do with him as a player. What was confusing to me, and here's the thing about expectation, right? When we place expectations on others and then they don't do what we expect them to do, we get let down. And I think even on the discussion that we had when we did the show the other night, and I said, if the Raiders just follow the logical path, we're going to be fine no matter what. So even when Michael Penix comes off the board, it's like, okay, well, now that we're just going to shore up our defense or we're going to protect, you know, guard dog. I thought, that, okay, that's what. So then when you go a tight end and it's another tight end, like we had a second round tight end last year that we moved up for. And now here we are, we've drafted a tight end again. Guys, we're the first team in 20 years to draft a tight end back-to-back in the first two rounds. Do you know the last team to do it was?
Was it New England?
No, it was the freaking Raiders.
Oh.
In 2002 and 2003, we took Doug Jolly and Teo Johnson back-to-back years in the second round.
Would you say, though, he's not just another tight end?
He's not just another tight end, and that's the thing. And so, and so,
I'm glad you said that.
Well, I'm coming around to it, and I want to leave it, turn it up to you guys. And you know, listen, we don't, you know, get on the show, just sit around and agree with each other. But I think it was just shocking to me, and I think that that's where, like, and it came out as a negative, like, what the again? But it wasn't a reach. And see, and that's the thing, is that this was not a reach. He truly is the best player available. Heck, by position, he might be the best player in the draft.
That's what I was going to say.
Like, the guy's a freaking rock star. But is that going to, you know, build the team for the – like, I don't know. Like, I just think there were some other glaring needs. Now, all that said, we've got another day to go through, and we're going to talk about some of the prospects here that we have in the second and third rounds. Once we get through the weekend – then I'll really have my, you know what I mean? Then I'll really feel one way or the other about it. But as of today, I'm like, it's just a little bit like a, huh? Like that's kind of ultimately waking up. That's after sleeping on it.
No, absolutely. Well, because that wasn't, because you guys know, I don't keep up. So really the only, you know, Michael Penix was probably the one where I was like, oh, this is going to be it. Or Fuaga. Like I thought those were, if Michael Penix was gone, you know, that's the direction we're going to go. That name, Bowers, had not even eclipsed my radar because he wasn't somebody that I thought, you know, a tight end, we're not looking for. There were a lot of, you know, positions that we probably weren't looking at. But I, once they said it and I went to look, and of course Lamont knew exactly who he was because he watches Georgia football because my sister lives in Georgia and her husband's a huge fan, you know, all that jazz. And he texted me and was like, man, you guys got a wow. Like he was overwhelmed. And I was like, well, he must not know what the Raiders need because, nobody's happy because I went straight to X and nobody was, not many. There were a few people that were happy. Sure. You were super happy.
Yeah.
Immediately. And so I started just, you know, watching things and everybody seemed excited that that would know. You know, not saying that we are people that don't know, but the people that would know knew, you know.
All the draft analysts are like, yeah, they were like, this wow, is a home this run. Is a,
yeah. Yeah. And I saw a lot of people that were like, yeah, the Raiders, Michael Penix was gone and they panicked. And I was like, no, of course they didn't panic. They did exactly what their plan was. I'm certain they had a plan.
Yeah.
I don't understand it, but it isn't for me to understand.
Yeah. So. Yeah. You know, I totally agree with that. You know, being living here in the South, you know, I also watch a lot of SEC football. I thought that Brock Bowers wasn't going to make it out of the top five.
And that's been the big thing a lot of people say.
My thought was that, and it was terrifying to me, but my thought was that Brock Bowers was going to go to the Chargers at five. And I was like, man, we're going to have to face that dude twice a year, man. Like, that. Here we go. It's going to be another Kelsey. You know, we're not going to be able to, you know, do anything with him. He's just going to basically do whatever he wants. But now we got him. And so... you know, which, by the way, the biggest pop of the night for me wasn't the Brock Bowers draft or whatever. It was the fact that Denver drafted Bo Nix. So we're sitting there. J.J. McCarthy goes at 11 or 10 or whatever. And I'm thinking, oh, my gosh, Denver, please take Nix because I don't want Bo Nix. Because, you know, that's what the Raiders were going to do at 13. Mm. You hear all these reports that came out that Telesco was all about some Bo Nix, loved Bo Nix. And I was like, okay, here it is. So it's going to depend on Denver. And you know that if it was another team, Telesco might have been willing to trade up one to go get him, but it was the freaking Broncos.
They're
Broncos
aren't going to trade
with us or whatever. So instead what they did is they got the best player available, which I love. It's something that the Raiders just haven't done in a long time. Just grab the best guy that's left. You know, and so I love the pick. I think that him and freaking Mayer are going to be stalwarts for a long, long time here in the Raiders. I mean, our offensive weapons are scary, but you know, for those of you that are really upset about this, that Antonio Pierce wants this guy. We all wanted Antonio Pierce. So until they've given us reasons on the field to say maybe that wasn't the right call, I'm 1,000,000% in on this guy.
Okay, yeah, and
Telesco said that they were all pretty much on board.
It was all consensus.
The quarterbacks that they wanted, whether it be Jaden Daniels, Penix, they were gone. The tackles that they wanted, obviously, were probably gone. So they were probably looking at J.C. Latham or Joe Alt. They were looking at one of those guys. So when all of those options were gone and they figured they would probably address the defense later, they were just like, well, let's just go get, we can afford right now to get the best player available and we'll address corner and tackle later in the draft because there's still a monster amount of players that are incredible talent that can start in the NFL this year that are still available.
And
you know?
There are, and there's, and we're going to go over the list here in a minute. And we're going to talk about all these players that are still available. And I agree with you. We could still address a lot. The only thing that we're not going to be able to address is quarterback. And that's the thing that I just, now listen, man, Antonio Pierce said he didn't want a band-aid quarterback. Well, I'm sorry. Look, I love Gardner Minshew. We all love Gardner Minshew.
Truth.
And if he's our starter, I'm in. Like, but he's on a 2-year deal, and it's a guy that still has a lot of questions about his ability in the league, which is why you're able to sign him for $12 million. Like, so he is kind of like the best Band-Aid available that wasn't named Kirk Cousins. You know what I'm saying? So this is what I don't understand is that we knew – listen, those of you on the X and the Twitter, they'd be like, well, nobody knew there was going to be this many quarterbacks taken the first round. God dang it. We've been saying that shit for weeks.
Yeah.
That there's going to be panic at quarterback. There's too many good quarterbacks in this draft that the Raiders, if they just sit where they're at, the guys might be gone. We've been talking about not even weeks, months.
Right.
We back during the college football season, Jeff, and we're breaking down like, oh, if the Raiders finish here, then we might have a shot at this guy or not that guy. And here's the six that are like, we've been talking about that for a long time. So don't tell me that the freaking Raiders didn't know that was going to happen.
Right.
Now, if there was no ability to have a trade partner, I get it. I mean, look, they could only do what they could do, you know, and I know that the Falcons freaking threw the wrench into everything. Oh, heck, even sure the Chargers did. And the Broncos. I mean, really, I mean, everybody, but that's what happens every year in the draft. So I'm just confused as to what we're going to do. Like, and hopefully we'll protect whoever that's going to be, because that's going to be a huge one. And there are a lot of players that will be available to protect them. But I just don't know. I'm still a little confused. I'm with it. I'm 100% behind it. And I can't wait to use him in Madden. Like, he's going to be Brock Bauer's going to be a beast. The beast incarnate, just like freaking Lesnar.
Yeah.
But, like, I don't know, man. It's just, there's something about it that just doesn't quite feel right. But maybe that's because this thing hasn't played all the way out yet, Michelle.
Yeah, I mean, because even I think Wednesday night I said, well, at least this will be the first draft where everyone will probably be like, okay, good. We made a good solid pick. And it wasn't like it was a head scratcher just because tight end wasn't on anybody's radar. But also, I know so many people said, if we don't get the quarterback we want, just take the best available player. But I guess they should have specified we want the best available player within the needs that the team
that's
has.
Where, again, that's where I
and that's where I think a lot of people were thrown off because it's not, but maybe, and I know, yeah, Gardner Minshew, he is what would be considered a band-aid, but I also think we're really discounting his ability when he has everything that he needs. Maybe he has more, and we still don't know what they're playing. Like, we still don't know. This has got to play out, you know, until we get to the very end. So yeah. I don't know.
Yep. Yeah, you brought up that Antonio Pierce doesn't want a band-aid quarterback. Well, maybe they feel that Gardner Minshew is not a band-aid quarterback. We went over on Wednesday. We went over the stats of Gardner Minshew. He's a better quarterback than Trevor Lawrence. And you know what? You look at those and you look at moments or whatever. Okay, I'll fight you on that because that's my quarterback. So yeah. I think there's a real possibility that they think that, hey, Gardner Minshew, he's only 5 years into the league. You know,
he's inexpensive. It's team friendly. Yeah. If he balls out, we sign him to an extension. Right.
There you know what go. I mean? That's what I'm saying. But it's a big if.
That's a big if.
Yeah. But I'm all in on it. I'm all in on it.
Well, we don't have a choice.
We don't have a choice now.
Well, that's true.
But I mean, is this?
You do have a choice.
I mean, listen. I mean, I know that you know history is not always an indicator of the present or the future. But what do we talk about all the time? Some of the greatest Raider quarterbacks that would have ever played have been reclamation projects.
Come on, dude.
I mean, it's like, you know what I'm saying? Obviously Plunkett and Gannon are the two biggest ones to point to. But even if you look at like Jason Campbell before he got hurt for crying out loud,
he was balling out.
He was playing great. So, I understand that that's kind of our, and if that's the case, and which I guess it would be nice to hear that. I think that's what I'm saying is that like, I would love to hear Antonio Pierce go,
we're all in on Gardner. Yeah,
Gardner's not a Band-Aid.
Right.
No, this is our guy.
Yeah.
And him and Aiden are going to duke it out in camp and the best man wins.
Yep.
If that's it, because of our trust in Antonio Pierce.
Yep.
Yes. Okay, fine. Then I get it. But until we hear that or get
that clarification. Well, but that probably won't come till after, you know, till like after the draft, because who knows what else is going to happen in the draft.
They won't even have to come out and say it.
Yeah.
If they don't draft the quarterback, we're going to know right away.
We might have that answer though. And I think,
because there are some decent quarterbacks still. Obviously Rattler is still out there.
I like that dude.
I know you love him. And there's all the guys in the group of five, there's a bunch of group of five guys out there, Michael Pratt and whatnot. Sure. So we'll see. And we'll get Murphy's input. Cause you know, some group of five guys are going to start coming off the board soon.
Yeah.
So we'll get some info from Jeff Murphy, QB Jeff. But so speaking of these guys that are left, outside of quarterback, because I don't, unless it's Spencer Rattler here in the second round, I'm thinking they're going to address corner or tackle or guard. I think it has to be, right?
Yeah.
And so when we look at the, so we pick at what, 44 and 77, I think is what we have in there. When you start looking down through the prospects, there's a lot of guys still out there. There are six corners, I think, that are very viable and reachable in rounds two and three. You got Cooper DeJean, the kid from Iowa.
Yep.
Kool-Aid McKinstry is still out there from Alabama, for crying out loud.
I like that dude, man.
Awesome. Enos Rakestra, which I didn't know a ton about him, out of Missouri.
Okay.
But Kamari Lassiter, speaking of Georgia players.
Yep. Come on.
Let's start stacking up Bulldogs, man, like we used to stack up Crimson Tide players.
Yeah.
I'm good with that.
Yep.
TJ Tampa out of Iowa State, and then maybe my favorite is Kyrie Jackson out of Oregon.
He's my favorite. I've got him wrote down right here at the top of mine.
That kid's 6'4 and can freaking do a lot of things, you know what I mean, out there in terms of coverage skills. So.
And he's a Raider. He's a Raider,
Tell
man.
Tell me why.
Because he's a reclamation project, you know? He's a guy that, you know, a lot of people will turn away from, and those are the type of players that the Raiders go, come on, come on, we got you. We got you. That's old school Raider shit, and that's new Antonio Pierce shit. He reminds me so much of Jack Jones.
Really?
So much of Jack Jones. It's maybe some off the field issues, stuff like that, and that's why his stock is dropping, because, you know, a lot of teams go, yeah, you know, I don't want to mess with that. You know, I don't want to mess with a guy like that. The Raiders want to mess with guys like that. You know what I mean? Like, Antonio Pierce wants to mess with guys.
Because we have the culture
like
to be able to
handle
it. We have
the culture that can fix it.
Yeah.
You know? So, give me Kyrie Jackson. And I think we could get him in the fourth.
That I was going to say, he might drop way down there.
Yeah, dude. Yeah.
I don't want to know any of these names. No, I'm just playing.
Well, yeah, this is why. Because we don't want to fall in love with players, right? Yep. Like I did with Michael Penix.
Maybe they did us a favor. I don't know, taking Penix. Maybe they did us a favor.
I don't know, and I'm curious if we're ever going to get a chance to see him play.
Right.
You know, they're talking about sitting him for four or five years.
Yeah. Who?
They're talking about sitting Penix for 4 to 5 years. Yeah. I'm like. And listen, and I'm not in the camp of like, oh, you know, don't draft him. He's too old. But listen, you're 24 years old. You could play for 10 years, be a franchise player, whatever. That's plenty of time to justify.
Yeah.
But
if he's going to be 30 starting the first game.
It's like, what the heck, man? I mean,
that
other
is
than,
generous.
Right?
Yeah.
Outside of Kurt Warner, like how often does that work, man? Like, yeah.
Well, he seemed excited to go to the Falcons, so good for him and his higher power.
Yeah, good for him. Yeah. So then we go to, let's look at some linemen.
Sure.
Tackles, there's a lot of good right tackles.
I've got one on the top of my list.
Go ahead, Blake Fisher.
Mason McCormick.
Oh, well, and he's another guy that we can get.
I love that guy. I think we can get him in the third.
Yeah?
Yeah,
I think we can snag him in the third.
Yeah, he's a beast.
That's a big dude. Yeah. Blake Fisher out of Notre Dame. Roger Rosengarten out of Washington.
Sure.
The guy that protected Michael Penix's blindside.
Yep.
That's a pretty good one. Christian Jones out of Texas. And then Dominic Puni in Kansas. I liked him because he plays all over the line. And, you know, the Raiders have talked about that. They love to have guys that can play multiple positions. Yeah. He can play guard. He can play tackle. He can play both guards. Like, so a guy like that would be someone interesting to look out for. And I've got three more for you at guard. Christian Haynes out of UConn, Cooper Beebe at Kansas State, and then Brandon Coleman at TCU. Same thing as Dominic Puni. Very versatile. Not only played a lot of spots on the line when he was in college, and I think he was even the one that even played some center. Not that we need a center.
Sure.
But
versatility
anyway,
is good, though.
Versatility is great, right? So there's, I mean, that's 13 names right there, and we're picking at 44. So that's what, 12 down, right? And then whatever the math is to get to 77. There's a really good shot that two of these players on this list that I just gave you are going to be available for the Raiders.
Yeah.
And so if that's the case, now then after day two, and you're looking at it and you go, all right, now we're protecting Minshew. We got him the ultimate freaking weapon to go along with a freaking, I mean, now it's just all of a sudden our pass catchers, which we were not struggling with in the beginning. Now all of a sudden we're stacked. And then now we got somebody that we can play aggressively when we're on defense. Like, okay, yep. I kind of start to see it piecing it together. Still a little confusing
and
to me.
Sorry, go ahead.
No, that's it. I'm done.
Okay. And it's all that entire receiver core, including it's all still fairly inexpensive. Of course you got Devontae, but you got Jakobi Meyers on an $11 million deal. That's okay. But then you got Trey Tucker, Michael Mayer, and now Brock Bowers, all rookie contracts. Like, you know, like, and that's baller shit, man. Like, that's really, really good. So yeah, I'm all about that. But, you know, we're talking about receivers. What if we went receiver late in the draft? What if we go receiver on day three?
That, you know what? I was looking at a lot of the wide receivers, and there's some good ones out there, too.
There's some really good ones, man. So I'm looking at Johnny Wilson, 6'7", 231. Shit.
Jeez.
Guy's built like freaking Darren Waller, dude. Oh, and he looks like Darren Waller. Dude, I'm talking 50-50 balls. I mean, freaking Jordan Travis. Jordan Travis is bombing that zone, which he's a sleeper guy, too. You may be able to grab Jordan Travis in the sixth round.
And then he'll rehab for a year. You know what I mean?
I'm not opposed to that, dude. I'm not opposed to it at all. And then Jamari Thrash, wide receiver out of Louisville. The guy, he runs a 4.46, so he's fast. He's 6'1", 180, so he's a lean guy, a little bit small. But so, I mean, another maybe slot guy, something like that potentially. But I like the guys with the fun names, you know? I like Jamari Thrash. That's a good Raider name.
And then Malachi Corley. That's a group of five guys.
Absolutely.
And who's a beast in the slot. So, I mean, that could be a guy too. Because I think we are going to have to add some speed. I mean, that's going to happen.
Trey Tucker can't be the only guy.
Yeah. I don't know if it happens on day two, though. I don't know if that happens tonight. I don't know. Maybe that's a tomorrow thing.
Hope that doesn't happen tonight. I really need for them to go offensive and then a CB. Like, I really hope that. I want everybody to be happy. And when I say everybody, I mean me. Because I really do think, because I think you said last night on X, you said something like, I hope he does good throwing from his ass or something. Talk about Minshew, because he's going to need protection. Or if it's Aiden O'Connell, who knows which one's going to beat out who. But they're going to need protection, solid protection, because we've seen what happens when you don't have that.
Yeah, so, and I don't think Thayer Munford is it. God, like, no, you know please. What I'm saying? Like, I don't see when you go through. And just like, I don't think Cody Whitehair is the freaking answer at guard. Like,
he's a good rotational piece.
He's a good backup. You know what I mean? Yeah. Somebody gets hurt and they got the cagey vet that can come in and take a spot. You know what I mean? So like I get the signing up, but that's not like, we can't be relying on that as our start. And then going forward, like what? I don't know, man.
We need some slam dunks from here.
Yeah.
Like,
yes. We do. Thank you.
Yeah, we absolutely do. You know, so I would love to see him go corner, tackle, corner, tackle, Jordan Travis, receiver. Or whatever.
Sure.
Like, you know, I think that would be a slam dunk because, I mean, I'm glad we were talking about Jordan Travis because that dude, that's a sleeper, man.
Thing on him, though, and this is what I think Scott Moe brought this up on Silver and Black today. The only thing with him is that he's not going to be ready to go this upcoming year.
We don't need him to be ready to
Well, then, but then why address quarterback now when you can just address it next year and have a guy that's going to be ready to go at the same time Jordan Travis would be? Unless you think Jordan Travis is that much better than anybody that you're going to get next season. That's I think
he was
that's
a first round projected quarterback at one time, dude.
Okay, well that's what I'm saying.
He was fun to watch because Lamont's a Florida State guy. So he was a lot of fun to watch, and I remember thinking, that, I mean, like I said, I don't keep up a whole lot, but obviously we watched him a lot, and I was like, man, this dude's going to be really good. And then you know he got hurt, and but yeah, I think he could be, and also too, who's to say that next year's a possibility? Like, why not get him in a late round when you can, and then let him sit here. Good Lord, let a quarterback sit for a year and like develop under somebody, and then
and Minshew is a great mentor,
incredible. Yeah,
I could rock with Minshew for 3 years while Jordan Travis gets ready.
You know what? That's not terrible. You're starting to sell me here. You guys are. You know what I mean? Both of you, man. Those are great points.
I mean, and you could say the same thing about Spencer Rattler. You know, if they decide to go bananas,
I think the ceiling
today
is much higher on Jordan Travis than it is Spencer Rattler.
I mean, a value for pick. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Give me Jordan Travis.
Yeah,
you know?
That's what I'm saying.
You know, but if they think like if they want someone else to start this year, give me Spencer Rattler because he's more ready.
Well, he can.
Yeah. You know, whatever. Yeah. But you know what I'm saying? Like, you know what I mean? Yeah, if they're wanting someone to throw in right away, then you know that's your only
option. I don't love the Spencer Rattler idea just because I don't see him being that much better than Gardner Minshew.
Oh.
Like it's not like, you know what I mean? Like his ceiling isn't so high that it's like he's gonna come in his rookie year, which rookie quarterbacks typically struggle their first year anyways. Like he's gonna come in and just like ball out over what Gardner Minshew would be able to do, where Minshew, I don't think, has arrived yet at his ceiling. He's still got a little bit of growth to happen. As you mentioned, he's still only in year five and really has never had a program or a team like say, you're our guy.
Yep.
You know what I mean? And so there's a lot to be said for that when you commit to a player, especially your quarterback. You know, look what Kirk Cousins is having to go through.
Yeah.
He's never had a team go, you're the guy, Kirk. Here it is. You know what I mean? Take the mantle. Like no one's ever done that for him. And so it would be cool to see if the Raiders would do that. But you sold me on the Jordan Travis thing, man. I think that'd be a slick move for them to pull off.
It'd be fun, dude. But you hear we played all these clips from Gardner Minshew on his on the podcast with The Rush with Max Crosby. You know, he loves playing West Coast ball.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and he hasn't done that in the NFL yet. You know, you look at him at Washington State, that dude aired it out.
Didn't he freaking lead the...
He led the whole country in freaking passing yards.
And didn't he break some NCAA records?
He broke, at least Washington State records, but yeah, he broke a bunch of records. So, like, let's not forget that a Raider quarterback likes to throw it down the field. This guy can do it, and now he's got all the toys to do it, so let's keep him on his feet and let's make it happen.
He's way more, and it's funny, because we talk about the Raiders, we talk about the vertical game and all that kind of stuff. When you look at the guys that have really ran, like Plunkett didn't have a strong arm. Let me take that back. These guys had strong arms, but they weren't, other than Daryl LaMonica, when you look at Stabler and you look at Plunkett and you look at Gant, they weren't freaking like monster arm guys, but you had the wide receivers that were able to get open. And in the NFL, even, an average NFL quarterback and throw the ball 60 yards downfield. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So like, I'm with you on the Minshew thing. I'm really.
Well, and we've seen Minshew do that. Like we've seen him air it out. We've seen him do it. So I think it does take the right team and the right leadership and the right structure. And maybe the Raiders is that for him.
Cause the way that West Coast offense works, you know, it's interesting when you watch it and it's done really well, is that everything stays so close to the line of scrimmage with the dinking and dunking and then just the little timing routes, all that kind of stuff. And then the defense starts pressing up and then boom, that's when you nail them over the top. You know what I mean? And so it's really, okay, all right. You guys are turning me around here. See, that's what we do. Where's the truth chicken?
Come on.
Yeah, where's the truth chicken?
You got them up there. You got a pair of them.
Oh, okay.
We'll give you both.
We'll tell people where they can find us, Jeff, and support our foundation, all that good stuff.
Michelle, you do that.
Chicken. Okay, all right. So One Nation Foundation, onenationfoundation.net. If you go there, you can find the donate button. The link's right there, and it'll kind of give you the rundown of the things that we do. The Biletnikoff Foundation is the big supporters that we are, and they we also support Raider Dad. We also support the Max Crosby Foundation. If you go to TeePublic, you can order gear, and that money goes to the One Nation Foundation. I'm trying to remember what else I'm forgetting besides that.
I don't know. You mentioned Raider Dad.
I mentioned Raider Dad.
And we're getting ready to send out our check to Raider Dad, which is, let me see if I can find my, okay. We thank you, Raider Nation, for your support of the One Nation Foundation, because we're sending a check for $3,000 to Raider Dad. To Raider Dad here at the end of the month. And so we appreciate you and your generosity. As Michelle said, all those foundations that we support and charities that we support, can't do that without your help, and can't do that without you having our back, Raider Nation. So we thank you so very, very much for that. And so speaking of Raider Dad, actually, I got one thing to play before we get out. So after you do your thing. Speaking of Raider Dad, I'm going to switch the camera over here to Swag Jeff's cam, and he's got a special guest there for those of you that are on the audio podcast. We got a special guest in here. What's your name there, pal?
Ollie.
Are you a big Raider fan?
Yes.
Yeah. How old are you?
Five and a half.
Nice. And who's your favorite Raiders player?
Derek Carr.
No, it's not. Sorry, folks.
Default. It's okay.
You want to try again?
Let's try.
There we go.
Let's go.
Thanks for coming on, Ollie. Say goodbye to Raider Nation, Ollie.
Bye, Raider Nation.
Attaboy.
Oh, my gosh. Too funny. All right. So I got... Jeez, what are you teaching him over there in your house, dear Jeff?
Well, he still rocks a Derek Carr.
Well, that is all he knew. I mean, yeah, I get it.
It's five.
He doesn't watch a whole lot of Raider games than me. I get kind of mad. He'll watch the first quarter and a half, and then he's like, all right, Dad, I'm out.
Well, that's
going to change. That's going to change.
It will change, yeah. When they're five, then that's
it. It would have been epic if he would have said Brock Bowers.
You should have coached him. Yeah. You got to coach him up.
Blew it next time.
All right, next time, Jeff. All right, so hey, speaking of Brock Bowers, I've got one soundbite to play for you.
Okay, good.
Before we get at it, because as much as I was a little bit of a sad sack last night, and I'm starting to come around, but I promise you, by week one, this is what I'll be screaming at the field at Allegiant Stadium.
Like Brock for Brock, the conqueror himself, Brock.
Brock.
Brock. You want to see your husband fight Brock? You can't. You can't beat Brock. Best friend in the world. Brock. I got two words.
This is my favorite.
For you. Brock. Brock.
That's perfect.
Come on, man. That was great. You're going to have that in heavy rotation here on the board.
100%.
That's perfect.
I've got my BB number one tattoo scheduled as well.
Good.
Yeah, I'm ready.
Is he going to be number one?
Oh, no, he's number one in my heart. I'm going to get it on my chest.
Number one in my heart. Perfect. Yeah, yes. Yeah,
BB number one right here.
Nice. Yeah, I love
precious.
It.
Yeah, he's going to be my favorite. Yeah. Let's send another tight end to the Hall of Fame, Swaggo.
Let's do that.
You know what I'm talking about?
Let's do that, man. Why not?
Yeah. I'm joining old Ghost.
Yeah, we need to come up with a good nickname for Brock.
Barack! Yeah,
don't mess with perfection.
Right there, man.
I guess so.
No, it's the beast incarnate, man.
Yep.
Yeah. Just like Brock Lesnar. I think that's what you go with. And I think that was, if I remember right, when in college and stuff, they would like hashtag him, like Georgia fans would hashtag beast incarnate and all that.
Oh, good. Okay. So, that's tight. Yeah, yeah. I love that.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah. All right. Deal. Take us on out of here. Thank you, Raider Nation, for joining us.
Hey, will you turn up my thing? Pause.
Trying to get turned up in here?
Hey, come on, man.
Wow, midday. Nice.
Yeah, hey.
Oh, make sure you thank Michelle for being here, too, by the way.
Oh, yeah, thank me.
Thank you. Would you like to do this? Would you like for me to do this? Michelle, thank you for being here.
Give me the chicken.
I was so happy to be here. I think Dad needs the chicken more than anyone.
Oh, he's got one over there.
Oh, that's right. Oh, hey, my chicken doesn't squeak. What the?
Murph was using it last night.
I guess so.
He was squeaking it.
Squeaked out.
I wore out the squeaker.
Pause. Sorry. It's all out of squeak.
It happens. charge it.
My gosh. Yeah. Hey, everybody hang in there. Night two, this is going to be really fun. This is two rounds, right? This is second and third?
Second and third tonight, yeah.
Okay.
44-77.
44-77. Let's build the defense. Let's build the offensive line. Let's maybe grab a quarterback. Probably not, but hey, you know what? I trust in this front office, and I trust in Antonio Pierce until they give me a reason not to, and they haven't given me one yet. So I'm fired up, ready to roll. Let's do this thing, man.
Let's do it. Thank you, chat room, for being here.
Yep. Much respect. On behalf of Swag Ollie, Murph, Michelle, I'm Swag Jeff. Thanks for tuning in for an episode of the Raiders Fan Radio Rundown, where we take a lighter side journey into the dark side. And don't forget, boys and girls, what happens in Vegas started in Oakland. And in this year's case, it started in Detroit.
There you go.
Goodbye.
Let's start stacking Bulldogs.
I love it. That's 3 years in a row we grabbed a Bulldog. Zeus, Chris Smith, and freaking Bowers.
Absolutely. I'm at it.
Deal.
The new Super Beats Heart Chews Advanced is now supercharged with CoQ10. Support your healthy CoQ10 levels and blood pressure with two chews a day. Visit RadioBeats, BEETS.com, and save 15% with promo code DEAL.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.